federal government will continue to press Victoria and the Northern Territory to lift their bans on onshore gas development when the nation's energy ministers meet tomorrow. The bans were introduced in part to help protect farming land. The push comes a day after the New South Wales government decided to buy back the majority of the exploration licence for the Shenhua Watermark coal mine to protect the farming future of the Liverpool Plains in the state's northwest. Fiona Simpson is the president of the National Farmers Federation and a Liverpool Plains beef, cotton and grain farmer. She joins me now. Fiona Simpson, good morning.
Good morning.
Should states resist federal pressure to lift their bans on gas developments?
Look, gas has been an important part of Australia's energy mix for many generations now, and I think will be in the future as we move towards a lower emissions economy. But clearly the community has concerns about the operation of these industries, and clearly they have impacts, particularly coal seam gas, on water, underground water and agricultural land. So if the states are to lift their bans, then I don't think there's any way that they think that they can just force it onto the community. Clearly the community has an expectation about the oversight of these industries, around the planning for these industries, about good, transparent, robust regulation of these industries. So unless the states implement a step change in some of their policies as well, then I don't think it will work.
If I could turn to the Shenhua mine, are you still worried about its possible impact on the water table and problems like coal dust affecting surrounding farms and crops?
Yeah, look, clearly the water, the aquifer, the wonderful aquifer system that underlies the Liverpool Plains runs pretty much under the whole landscape. So if you blow a big hole in any part of that landscape, whether it's part of the ridge country or whether it's on the plains, then it's going to have a drawdown effect on that aquifer and it will change the pressures underground. So we do want the science, you know, if this mine is to go ahead, the community is sure at the moment that the science is not in and that the impacts that we have shown will actually impact that industry, let alone the coal dust and the other things that come with a big open cut coal mine. At the moment, we don't think the science is in and we don't think it should actually operate in that area. I guess time will tell, but we need to have a lot more work done yet at the federal level and also at the state level if that industry is going to move into the Liverpool Plains.
So do you think the partial buyback of the exploration licence was a bit of a PR exercise from the New South Wales government?
We have long said that it didn't make sense that the state government would go to the trouble of mapping some of their most valuable agricultural lands and then they would allow a mine in the middle of them. So clearly withdrawing those lands from the mine in some ways is a step forward, and certainly it's a step forward that we haven't seen from any of the other governments that have handled this process over the last 10 years. So it's good for them to do that. But now we actually have to look at the whole project and say, look, it doesn't make sense. Why are we building a big open cut coal mine in the middle of some of our most valuable agricultural food and fibre producing lands? Let's actually turn this into a centre for agricultural production instead. Let's get the jobs, let's get the growth, let's get the infrastructure, let's focus on doing what it does best and move on and let the community move on.
If I could turn to trade, Australia is pursuing a free trade deal with the UK as soon as it formally leaves the European Union. How valuable would that agreement be for Australian farmers?
Certainly, Australian agriculture is an export-dependent industry. So new markets in the UK as they potentially leave the EU, and also markets in the EU are always valuable to Australian farmers. And we look to be exporting our grains, our beef, our dairy. Australian farmers do what they do incredibly well. We just cannot eat enough of our product. We cannot use enough of our product. There is huge demand for our product, which has a great supply chain here in Australia. So it is clearly worth a lot of money to not just Australian farmers, but the Australian economy. And so it's good to see the government starting to talk about these new markets, these potential markets.
You don't think the government should focus perhaps on some of the existing trade agreements that we have, for example, with our Asian neighbours, and perhaps get better access to take advantage of those existing agreements?
I think it's all part of the mix. So clearly, just returned from Japan. Japan is our biggest beef market. And clearly we need to concentrate on Japan, we need to look at China, we need to make sure that we can benefit from some of the markets that the government has actually created through some of these free trade agreements. But we also have to have a look at new markets, and new markets for some produce that potentially may not have a market here in Australia as much yet. Things like table grapes, for example. We've started exporting huge amounts of table grapes to Japan, which is a great market for some of our horticultural producers here. And I think as we look at horticulture, as we look at the intensification of horticulture and the ability now for us to grow fruit and vegetables under glasshouses, resources in very sustainable conditions, then those markets will become increasingly important.
We've also launched trade negotiations with the so-called Pacific Alliance countries, including Mexico and Colombia, for example. Is there a bit of a risk because places like Mexico grow a lot of avocados and sugar, so they could then be exported to Australia and put pressure on our own producers of those products here?
Yeah, trade is a win-win. So it's a win for us and it's a win for the other country. And we have to make sure that any goods that are coming into Australia satisfy our very, very stringent biosecurity requirements. We have a very strong biosecurity chain here in Australia to protect our industries. And we need to ensure that that is very strong. But in the meantime, there will be some give and take. Some of it is counter-seasonality. We can bring some product in when we can't produce it here in Australia. We can take our product over so that they can benefit from our wonderful produce when they can't have it there. We know in Mexico that they already import a large amount of product from our competitors, USA and Canada. So if we can get part of that, if we can actually capitalise on some of that, if we can have Aussie beef in those tacos and nachos down there, well, how fantastic would that be?
Fiona Simpson, thank you very much for talking to AM.
Pleasure.
And that is Fiona Simpson, the president of the National Farmers Federation.